Psalms 103, look at verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. I bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities and healeth all thine diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, and so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known His ways unto Moses, His acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. Amen. He will not always chide, neither will He keep His anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, thank God for that, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is His mercy toward them that fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath He removed our transgressions from us. Like as the Father pitieth His children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear Him. For He knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. As for man, his days are as grass, as the flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passeth over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear Him, and His righteousness unto children's children, to such as keep His covenant, and to those that remember His commandments, to do them. You can be seated this morning. Heavenly Father, help us now. Save somebody that might be lost. Touch us and anoint us afresh this morning, for we certainly need You. Now help us while we preach. For these things in Jesus' name we do ask and pray. Amen and amen. Now as we look in the Scripture, we find that first of all in verses 1 and 2, the reason why we praise the Lord, or that we're commanded and that to praise the Lord. He said, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Let me ask you this morning, when is the last time that with all that was within us, that we praise the Lord? I mean that we just ride back and bless the Lord with all that was in us. Amen. We come up here in the choir and we squeak around a little bit and we don't give it our best to sing. Shame on us if we do that. I mean, we ought to come up here and sing with all that's within us. You ought to praise Him with all that's within you because He's worthy. Bible said, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Everything that God has done for us, He's worthy and that to be praised. If you look in verses 3 through 13, you'll find out why we praise Him who forgiveth all thine iniquities. Ain't you glad your sin has been wiped clean? I mean, have you been washed and that in the blood of the Lamb? Revelations 1 and 5, unto Him that loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood. What did He say in the text Scripture? As far as the east is removed from the west, so far as He removed our transgressions and that from us. He goes on, who redeemeth thy life, who satisfieth thy mouth, how He executeth righteousness, that He's merciful and gracious and slow to anger and plenteous in mercy, how His anger don't abide forever, how He didn't deal with us after our sins, nor friend, that He rewarded us according to our iniquities. We ought to shout every day that our sins are not imputed to us, but that they were imputed to Christ yonder at Calvary, and He took my judgment and your judgment so that we might be saved. Amen. Thank God for that. Amen. It's good to praise the Lord. Bible said in Psalms 54, I will freely sacrifice unto Thee. I will praise Thy name, O Lord, for it is good. Amen. I got a text here just the other day Well, I guess it was a Friday morning, be Thursday night, Friday morning, about 12:30 in the night. I was just coming out of the study. I was just finishing up. Believe it or not, I wasn't asleep. Amen. Some of you know I fall asleep in my study, but I was awake and I heard my phone. It was sitting on the coffee table there in the living room, and I heard that thing go off. And I automatically thought, that is not good. Anytime that I get a text in the middle of the night, that late in the night, it's not good. It was Brother Anthony Cole texted me, said, pray for my boy. Said he's got snake bit by a copperhead, and said they flew him out and they had to the hospital. And so, boy, I prayed. I mean, just stopped what I was doing and I sought God. And got up the next morning, got ready to go to the nursing home. And it was just a little after 8 o'clock. I got another call back and a text back. And it was Anthony on the other end. And he texted us and said, he just a mild bite. They treated him. I done sent him home and he was asleep. Amen. And I just sat down on the couch there and just cried for a while. And boy, just thank God. Boy, I'm telling you, I couldn't imagine the fear and the worry that mom and daddy was going through, knowing that their boy had been bit by a copperhead. But you know what? That he'd sent a word said, I know that God will answer prayers. Amen. And wanted us to pray. And boy, I tell you, I just sit down and thank God for why he's worthy to be praised. Amen. And it's good. Amen. It's good. But I want you to look at what he said right here. I want you to look in these two verses. This is what we're going to preach on for just a little bit, if God would help us. I know what time it is, and you all know that I really don't care, probably. Amen. But I want you to look in verses 15 and 16. The Bible said, as for man, his days are as grass, as the flower of the field, so he flourisheth. Well, we flourish up, don't we, church?
Amen.
I mean, we grow, we're born, we grow, and we flourish up. And you know, man, in his life, let me see, I can get this. It just seems like that we're here and we're doing great things and that for the Lord, hopefully. But it says right here that just man himself is like the grass and the flower of the field. So he flourishes. So you watch the flowers and the grass, the flower of the grass, that it blooms and it shows its beautifulness. And then before you know it, in verse 16, for the wind passeth over it and it is gone. That flower is here today and it's gone tomorrow. The book of James puts it like this. He said, whereas you know not what shall be on tomorrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. Can I tell you that as people, we just got a short time here on this earth. Listen, if we live to be 100, it's still just a short time. Let me say this today, that just as sure as the flower flourisheth and shows its beauty, that there is a brevity under that. It is very brief and for just a little while. Let me tell you this, life is the same way. Some of you all this past 2 weeks have been inundated and that with death. You faced it, I have faced it. We buried my uncle this past week that he's fought cancer for 2 years. Thank God he was saved. Amen.
Amen.
And they called me the other door, asked me a while back, and that too. They had a memorial service there at the nursing home for all those that had died in the past 6 months, and said, would you come and preach that? I said, sure, I'd be happy to. As a matter of fact, it was strange. I told them when I got up to preach, I said, this is going to be the strangest scripture for memorial that we've ever had. What them kids sang is what I preached on, being saved to the uttermost. Amen. You need to know that you're saved to the uttermost. Amen. But listen, let me say today that you need to understand that life is very brief, and then death comes. Just like that right there. Bible said in Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27, and as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. So death's coming, and death's going to get us all. I do not like to think about my mortality. I don't. I'll be honest with you, I like living. I don't know anybody that wants to think about dying. I like it. I like, because I like living. Now, I know where I'm going. I'm going to heaven. Thank God for that.
Amen.
But I still like living.
Yeah.
And so we find right here, though, that when it comes time to die, whether we're young or whether we're old or whether we're in between, we cannot get away from that thing. It's going to get every one of us. The Bible said in the book of Ecclesiastes 8, there is no man that hath power over the spirit to retain the spirit, neither hath he power in the day of death, and there is no discharge in that war, neither shall wickedness deliver those that are given to it. And so I ask the question, knowing that we're going to die, knowing that life is brief, and there's a brevity to it, and that we're not going to be here and live forever here. So let me ask you this question, where are you going? Life don't end here. The life as we know it ends here, but life itself does not end. You're either going to live somewhere and that forever, you're going to die somewhere forever. And how you leave here is what matters. The Bible said in the good book of Ecclesiastes, in the place where the tree falleth, there it shall be. In other words, how you leave here is what matters.
Amen.
Saved or unsaved. And you need to know that. Can I say, number one, first of all, what you do here, the decision whether to accept Christ or to refuse Him is done here. Amen.
Right.
You have to get saved here.
Yeah.
You can't leave here in death and say, boy, I've made a mistake and I want to get saved. You can't do that.
Amen, that's right.
There is no purgatory. There is no way, friend, that you can change your mind once you leave here. You have to make that decision now. Now, whether you want to believe me or not, you're going to have to trust Jesus to save you, to get you into heaven. The Bible said in John 14:6 that I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So if you're going to get into heaven, if you're going to get to the Lord Jesus Christ, you're going to have to come to Him. He said in John 10, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. You got to come through the door. Are you listening this morning? You got to come through Jesus Christ and that to get to heaven. Amen. Listen, if you want peace and joy and comfort and happiness here, you have got to come by Jesus. He said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Romans 5:1 says, therefore being justified by faith, what? By faith in who? By faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 3 talks about having faith in His blood, amen.
Right.
His blood, yes. His sacrifice.
Amen.
What He done at Calvary. Therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm glad we've got peace with God. Ain't you glad to have peace with God? If you ain't got the peace of God in your heart, you can have it this morning by coming and trusting Him. Philippians 4 says, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding. Ain't you glad that once you get peace with God, you can have the peace of God in your heart? And just like Paul said in 2 Corinthians 12, where the Lord come by and told him and said, my grace is sufficient. You know, that's why grace is sufficient, because it brings the peace of God in our life. Thank God for that this morning. But when the Lord Jesus comes, I always say, I'm thinking about that song that Brother Roloff sings. When he comes to stay. Ain't you glad of that? He ain't leaving. Amen. He ain't leaving. He ain't leaving. He ain't leaving. Once he comes, that's our president, it's for eternity. There may come some times that you may not think he's there, and he may be hiding himself from you, but I'll guarantee you, if you trusted him and asked him to save you, he done it, friend. And he's still there, amen, if he come in and set up residence. John 10:10 said, the thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy, but I'm come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. I'm glad I've got life in Him. How about you? Are you living or dying today? Which one are you doing? You're doing one or the other. The Lord Jesus told him in John chapter 5, search the scriptures, for in them you think that you have eternal life, and they are they which testifieth of me, and you will not come to me that you might have life. It's him that has life. He is the life giver, and he's the one that can save you today. If you've never been saved, I want you to come and trust him. Bible said in John 3, he said that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. That's what he came for, was to save you. But you got to trust him, you see. That's what it takes. You got to trust him and that to save you today. Listen, 1 John 5 said, and this is the record that God hath given us eternal life, and his life is in his Son. Have you ever been saved? Amen. You got to make that decision today. Today in the book of Acts chapter 24, you find a man that Paul stood before by the name of Felix, and he preached to him. The Bible said it is Paul reason of righteousness and temperance and judgment to come that Felix trembled. And he said, go thy way, for when I have a convenient season, I'll call for thee. You may be waiting today, lost person. You may be waiting today for that convenient season. That is today.
That's right.
That's your time right now. Lord Jesus, help us now. Listen to me. I want you to understand something. I'm asking you a question. Where are you going? You got to be born again. He told Nicodemus, he said, you must be born again. That thief on the cross, he said, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And he said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. But you got to come to him. I thought of Philippians chapter 3 and verse 11. Take your Bible and go over there with me. And then we're going to move on. But Philippians chapter 3 and verse 11. What the Apostle Paul said about everything that he had done and everything that he had gained. You may be counting on your works. You may be counting on who you are, your lineage. You may just be counting on other things but Christ. But listen to me. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 8. After Paul told of everything that he was, that he was of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, Hebrew, of the Hebrews, is touching the law, a Pharisee. But he said in verse 7, he said, but what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things, but for the loss of the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him, and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, me may conform to unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Paul said, all these things that was behind me, I count them but done.
That's right.
He said, they mean nothing. Can I tell you, your past means nothing. Who you are, what you are, none of those things mean anything unless you're saved. Paul said, I just want to be made what? He said that I may know him. First of all, know him in the power of his resurrection. Do you know him in the power of his resurrection? In other words, have you ever been made alive? Have you ever been made alive? You need to be made alive. Amen. And the fellowship of his sufferings being made conformable unto his death. Have you died out? See, you got to die out and be made alive at the same time. Ain't that something? He said, if by any means I might attain to the resurrection of the dead. So you make your decision here by trusting Christ. But I ask you the question, where are you going? Where are you going? There's two places that you go. There's two places. One is heaven, what my wife sung about. I didn't ask her to sing that, by the way, but I'm glad that she did. I asked the Lord, coming to church or this morning, I said, Lord, just put a little approval on this message if you'd be so kind. I said, just be so kind. We sung in the choir, and I thought, well, I didn't get nothing in the choir. You know, I thought, well, all right, but I'm still going to preach. And sometimes you just need a little stamp of approval put on things. I'll just be honest with you. When she said, I'm going to sing what heaven means to me, I thought, praise the Lord. Amen. But listen. You go to one or two places. Can I tell you, you don't go to purgatory. There is no such thing.
That's
amen.
Right.
You can't be bought out, prayed out.
Once
you get there. Now remember, once you leave here, you've left.
Right.
Now dear friend, I want you to listen to me. Jesus came and died for you so that you could be saved and so that you could go to heaven. Now can I tell you, the Bible don't tell us a whole lot about heaven.
right now. Now, it tells us a lot about the new city, Jerusalem. And it tells us a lot about what's going to be going on in the future. But what they're doing in heaven right now, the Bible don't tell us a whole lot.
That's right.
But it does tell us just a little bit. Can I tell you what? When you die saved, can I tell you that you get to go be with Jesus?
Amen.
I want you to take your Bible and go to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Can I tell you, when you die saved, you get to go be with Jesus. This is some of my most favorite scripture.
Amen.
I use this a lot. I do when we're preaching a graveside or something. Not all the time, but I'll use it a lot. But it said in verse 1, it said, "For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, and house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven." You know what Paul's saying? He said, man, he said, "I'm ready to go to heaven."
Yeah.
That's what he's saying. I mean, when he talks right here, "For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved." I remember listening to Brother Ted Pegram preach a funeral one time. And Brother Ted, he was on a walker by that time and had cancer. And it had done just about ravaged his body. But he could still talk plain enough to preach. And I remember him making a statement. He read the scripture and then preached out of it. And he got over there to this part that if our earthly house of this tabernacle. He said, "You know what a tabernacle is?" He said, "That's a tent." And he said, "How many of us want to live in a tent all our life?" Amen. Think about that for a minute now. Think about that in comparison to the body that we have in heaven that's waiting on us right now. Imagine that. Amen. And we are living in a tent. Ain't we? Amen. Amen. He said that we have a building. We have a building of God. Now, not a tabernacle, but a building. Big difference, ain't it? Between a tent and a building. I remember one time we were going to go camp. We did go camping with some of our friends. They said, "Come over here." They set up over about 15 minutes from the house and said, "Come over here and you can go camping with us." Said, we've got our grandparents' RV. Now, my wife don't go camping unless there's air conditioning and a TV. Amen. And and that's about how I am too. Amen. And so we get over there and everything was good. And then her mom and daddy showed up. And so they got room in the RV, and guess who had to go out and sleep in the tent? And you know what was even funnier than that? Then their grandparents showed up, and guess who had to come stay in the tent with us? Amen. And man, it rained that night, and the humidity was 100%, and it was 100 degrees. And I mean, that was the one and only time that we camped in a tent. Amen. And unless God just laws it on us, I ain't going to do it again. Amen. Listen, what I'm saying is I'd rather have a building any day as to have a tent. Amen. Let me move on. Look in verse 3. Verse 2. "For in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened not for that we should be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life." Mortality, friend, we're going to die. That's what Paul's saying. We're mortal. But he said, "I want my mortality and that swallowed up in life." Amen. In other words, a place where I won't die. He said, "Now he that hath wrought us for the self same thing is God, who hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit." That's how we know that we're saved, because the Holy Spirit abides within us. "Therefore we were always confident, knowing that whilst we were at home in the body, we were absent from the Lord." Very simple. If you're here living, you're not there.
Amen.
"For we walk by faith and not by sight." Sing that old song today, page 162, "Living by Faith." Living by faith. Look in verse 8. "We are confident, I say, and wouldn't rather be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord." When you leave here saved, you walk in immediately and that into glory. Say, "Preacher, what's it like over there?" I really don't know. I really don't know. But I know it's a wonderful place because that's where Christ is at.
Amen.
I'll be honest with you. We sang out of the Redback book, "Sometimes I'll meet you in the morning by the bright river side." Amen. I can make you that promise. How about you? Could you tell me right now that if you drop dead right now, I'll meet you in the morning? I like that. "I will meet you in the morning by the bright riverside, when all sorrow has drifted away. Ain't that good? Man, ain't that good? There'll be no more sorrow there. Oh, my, I said, preacher, we thought, hey, listen, you say, is there a river there? Well, yeah, the Bible talks about the river of life, but man, how it's out there around the throne and all those things, that crystal sea out there, yeah, they're going to be water there, amen. Thank God for that. The Apostle Paul put it this way in Philippians chapter 1. He said, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. He said, but if I live in the flesh, that is the fruit of my labor. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet, what I shall choose, I wot not. For I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Paul said, look, I know when I leave here, I'm going to be with Christ.
Yeah.
There is no such thing as soul sleep.
That's right.
No such
Come
thing.
Come on. Come on.
You shut your eyes here, you wake up over yonder.
Yeah.
Was it the Primitive Quartet that sings that song? I got a little house here and a big one over yonder.
Yeah.
Ain't no telling what we got over there. There's no telling what we got over there, but I know I got him. I know I got him. And I know you may not agree with me on this, but it'll be all right. Just don't argue with me. Don't argue with me. I believe we'll know folk over there. You may not think so, but I think so, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. I do. We'll know as we're known. I believe we'll know folk over there. I don't know how all that'll work over there, but I do know this. I believe we'll know one another. I believe we'll know one another. We sing an old song talking about shake glad hands with the elders. Yes, sir. And yes, ma'am. What a time when we get over there. But Christ Jesus the Lord's going to be there.
Amen.
Ain't that going to be something? We'll be with Him forever and ever. Can I tell you this, that when it comes time to die, I sat and I watched my uncle the past when we went down our house. It was probably about a month ago, wasn't it, honey? It was probably about a month ago. Now, I know Albert knowed he was dying. He knowed that. He knowed he wasn't going to recover off that cancer. But you know what? It never seemed to bother him that he was going to do that. He talked to my sister just a few weeks ago. And he said, I reckon Jesus is finishing up the brick in my mansion. He knew he was leaving, but didn't bother him. Listen, the Bible said in Psalms chapter 23 and verse 4, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Ain't you glad when that old dying saint knows that they're facing death, that there's grace. To help us cross the river. Boy, to say goodbye over here, but to wake up over yonder. Boy, when I was younger, I didn't understand what them old timers meant. They'd get to talking about how that I've got more over there than I got over here.
Right.
I didn't understand that. Didn't understand that at all. You know, when you're in your 20s and life is in front of you and everybody that you love is on this side of the river, and heaven don't mean a whole lot. And I know that's a shame because I know Christ is over there.
Amen.
I'm being honest this morning. But boy, when them loved ones start to depart, and a lot of them's got more over than what I got. Amen. But when they start to depart, I talked to a fella one day, and I knowed his wife was over there. And we'd ate lunch together, and he said, you just don't know how much I look forward to that.
Amen.
I'm glad I'm going. I'm glad I'm going. How about you? Where are you going? Do you know you're going to heaven? You need to know that. Because, see, there's only two places, and the other one's hell. Now, take your Bible and look with me in Luke chapter 16. Luke chapter 16, I'm fixing to close. I'm glad I'm saved from this place.
Amen.
Not because I say so, but because God said so.
Right.
And because this Bible says so. But hell is a horrible place. Heaven is a wonderful place. You say, would God send somebody to hell? I'll tell you why here in just a minute if you'll hold on. Hell's a place that was prepared for the devil and his angels, but it is a place that folk go to that reject the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to understand that. As a matter of fact, hold your finger there And just go with me to Hebrews chapter 10. I want you to look with me in Hebrews 10. Just hold your finger in Luke 16, but look in Hebrews 10. And I want you to look in verse 28. And I know that I read this from time to time, but the Bible said in Hebrews 10 and verse 28, He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Of how much sore punishment suppose ye shall he be thought worthy who hath trodden under foot the Son of God and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing and hath done despite under the Spirit of grace. For we know him that he said, Vengeance belongeth unto me, I will recompense, said my Lord, and again the Lord shall judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. You know why folk die and go to hell? Because they reject the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The one that shed not because you were bad, but because you rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what it all boils down to. If you've never been saved, I encourage you to get saved. Look in Luke 16. Look in verse 19. There was a certain rich man, which is clothed in purple and fine linen and food sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gates full of sores. What happens if you died right now? Where would you go? You'd have went to hell if you wasn't saved, friend. You don't have to be old to die.
Amen.
Young people die, old people die, middle-aged people die. Getting car wrecks. Heart stops beating. Accidents happen. And desiring, and there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores, and it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. And the rich man also died and was buried, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom, and he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And besides all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee, therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. And Abraham saith unto him, They have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. See, it took repentance, didn't it? And he said unto him, If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Heaven is a wonderful place, but hell's a horrible place.
Amen.
You're going to go to one or the other. Can I tell you that right now, hell is escapable. It's escapable. How do you know? Well, what did he say right here? First of all, we see that Lazarus escaped it. But look, what did he say? He said, Go tell my five brethren, lest they come into this place. He said, You go to them and you tell them that to repent so that they don't come here. It takes repentance, salvation, so that you don't go. It's escapable right now, but once you're there, you cannot escape it. Verse 23, verse 24, and verse 25. Both say that it is a place of torments. It's plural in verse 23. In verse 24, he said he's tormented in that flame. And then Abraham reminded him that he was comforted on this side, but tormented on that side. Matthew 25 calls it a place of outer darkness and weeping and gnashing of teeth. And Mark 9 said it's a fire that'll never be quenched. Verses 24 through verse 26 says that it is a place of no separation. If you could think of it this way, hell is kind of like the county jail. And what they're going to do is when you die, you're going to go to that place and you're going to be held there in torments.
Amen.
until it is time to stand before God Himself, the Lord Jesus Christ, in Revelation chapter 20. And the Revelator John said, "And behold, I saw a great white throne from before whose face the heaven and the earth fled away, and there was found no place for them." And then it goes on down through there in Revelation 20 and talks about how that death and hell brought up the dead that were in them. Let me read this. And he said, "And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." So it's just a moment in time that you're brought up and judged before God. And He shows you that your name was not written in the book of life. As we sung as a congregation, that I know that my name is there. Do you know that you've been saved? You need to know that. Hell's waiting on you if you ain't never been saved. Where are you going is what you need to know. Let's bow our heads this morning. Let's bow our heads. Brother Jeff, let's get a verse of invitation. Men, let's come this morning, if we would. Let's come. Do you know where you're going? Do you know? If you don't know, you need to come and get saved. You need to get that. You need to get that worked out. You need to get that worked out this morning. Listen to me. You need to know about your salvation. 1 John 5:13 said that you may know. Listen, I want you to hear me. Any of us could leave out of here before this service is over with. We don't like to think that way. We don't want to think. I don't even want to think that way. But I'm telling you, death sneaks up on all of us and gets us. And before the sun sets tonight, you could leave out of here. Are you ready to meet God? Are you ready? What did the book of Psalms say? It said that man is like the grass, the flower that flourishes, and then the wind passeth over it, and it is gone, and there's no found no place for it. We're here, and then we're gone. Where are you going to be when you're gone is what I'm asking you. Do you know that you're saved?